Welcome to the Bridge of Two podcast.
Welcome to the Bridge of Two podcast, everyone.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hope you enjoy Josh's coughing fit.
Yeah.
I know, I didn't.
This is your regularly scheduled...
Scheduled.
We scheduled it. We rolled it into the schedule.
Oh, hey, I like that.
Bridge of Two podcast.
You guys better be rolling it into your schedules every other Monday.
Heck yeah.
Sometimes in this
week. Every listen gives us 50 cents. So, not really. It doesn't give us anything.
Every listen gives us 50 cents in our heart.
That's right. 50 heart cents.
Which is meaningless, but it feels nice on occasion.
Give us at least, we want at least five heart dollars in our hearts at all times. So
I want,
just do the math.
I want more than five heart dollars. Okay. I want 100 heart dollars.
That's a lot to ask. Yeah.
And it's a lot to ask, but you know what I'm asking it.
Okay. Well, that's, if you don't ask, you can't be
exactly
upset if you don't get it. So it's worth it. Something like that.
Something like that.
If you don't vote, you can't complain. No, that's something else.
I can too.
I don't know. Can and I will.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we're on the bridge here. The Bridge of Two. We're
back on the bridge.
And it's been an eventful couple weeks, I think. I imagine.
It's been a pretty eventful couple weeks for me.
How's your life going?
I'm just making this episode a nightmare for Josh to edit. Don't worry, you'll teach me and I'll learn to edit the next one.
That's right.
It's been good. I've been getting a lot, just so much reading done. My goodness, did I finish Malazan by last episode?
Yeah, you had finished it, and you were a little ways into Alloy of Law, Wax and Wayne book. And you've already finished it.
Okay, yeah. So I finished
it. I haven't finished it.
I finished Alloy of Law way ahead of you. I can't believe I passed you. You've been reading that for like 3 months, dude. Come on, I was playing. You're a lot busier than I am because you...
Yeah, that's right. I've also...
You're writing and everything like that.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of writing. I'm playing video games. If I'm not reading, I'm playing video games. If I'm not working, you're doing other important things.
Must be nice.
Anyway, I finished Alloy of Law again. Second, this is my reread of it, which is funny because I've never even reread the original Mistborn trilogy.
What?
I haven't reread it yet.
Crazy.
Which I should, but I need to actually read other series
before the movie comes out, at least.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I need to at least read. I need to be reading other series like Malazan. So I finished Alloy of Law. Love that book. Forgot how good it was, but I realized how quickly I read it. I want to slow down so they can kind of have it be finishing the third book when the fourth one comes out.
Right.
But yeah. So I want to wait. So I decided to go ahead and start up the next Malazan book two. I am just as confused as I was with the first book.
At this point, you like it. You enjoy that.
Kind of.
Like, if you came to a Malazan book and you weren't confused, you'd be like, this sucks.
Probably. It's just, it was funny going from Malazan book one to Alloy of Law and being like, wow, this is, no wonder I'm reading this so fast. It's so easy. Everything makes sense. Everything makes sense in Malazan. It actually does all fit together, but it's a process.
Right.
Like, it definitely takes time, and it takes the mental fortitude to sit there and be like, okay, I'm not just going to be hand-fed things. Like, a lot of what you find out is found out through, not exposition, but through characters just talking to each other.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of dialogue, and you find things out from different characters and the way they talk to each other. You don't have, like, one character just doing random exposition about whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Which is a nice little change, and it's nice for character development. But it's just tough because when I was finally starting to get the hang of book one and all those characters, you go to book two and it's just a completely different place with completely different characters. It is a sequel and it does take place after book one.
Mm-hmm.
But you have just completely different characters and there's like 13 different storylines going on. Luckily, some of them are finally starting to merge. So I'm hoping those 13 will kind of divide down into like seven.
Yeah.
But really good. It is such a good... The mystery of it is what really grips me, and the world is really cool. Like, the whole first book was, the setting was very, you know, your generic fantasy. There's plains and mountains and cities, stuff like that. This one takes place in like a desert.
Okay.
And they just, so I'm getting very strong like Middle Eastern vibes and everything like that. And like, nice. They're even wearing like the head wrap stuff and everything like that. And so it's just, it's cool. Nice. I definitely dig it. Still confusing, but it's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
I think I haven't decided, but I think after I finish this, I might try and read the first Lightbringer book since Caleb was letting me borrow it. Either that, or I got a few on the horizon that I might want to try and check out. So, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure that series is pretty highly regarded by Brandon Sanderson.
Mm-hmm. Caleb said it's really good, so I know that.
Not that that's the only recommendation you need, but
so
Caleb is the only recommendation you need.
Absolutely,
we're being honest here.
That's what I'm saying.
Shout out to Caleb, not
shout
my
out,
son.
Shout out to Caleb, not your son. My son.
I wish he was my son.
He's my son. So yeah, getting a lot of reading done. I've kind of jumped back in now that school is slowed down again. I'm trying to jump back into the drawing, which I say almost every episode of this podcast, but.
Really. You showed me something that looked like you'd done more things with it. So
I should take it as a process. But I'm doing other things. I'm trying not to do any big projects except for the one that I'm doing for you right now, which isn't even really a big project. But I'm trying to just do a lot of practice, I guess, really.
Yeah.
Get back in the flow of things.
Sometimes you don't see... sometimes the work you don't see a lot of results from, like, but it takes a lot of time. Is some of the most valuable work you can do.
Really. I'm excited for this one. It's not turning out exactly how I was thinking, but it's a learning curve, and I like it. And I actually am already like thinking of things I could try next time.
Awesome.
I do think my next big project I'm going to try though is it'll be brought up I'm sure later on the second half of the episode. But I'm just totally engrossed with the artwork for Arcane.
And some Arcane
would
stuff.
Like to try and. Kind of mimic that art style, see how it feels.
Yeah.
And so I'll probably end up trying to draw one of the characters to get a little...
Feel for it.
Watch a couple videos on how it's done.
Mm.
But I just like that painterly style.
Mm.
So I want to just give it a... Try it out, see how it feels and everything like that. Yeah. Still kind of working around how I want to do. Because I want to try and get into color more. Because I do most of my stuff in black and white. Just because I'm so used to the traditional pencil and then pen. So I'm trying to get... I want to get better at shading, so great doing grayscale, but making it look more realistic and like even the one that I'm doing for you is like it's good, but like I still feel like there's like things about it that just throw me off.
Mm.
Like maybe it's too darker, it's just too. It seems too digital.
Mm.
If that makes sense. So I'm trying to find out how to make it not look that way. So I think maybe trying to go look at that paint, try to look at the painterly way of going about it might help because the way theirs is, I mean, it's digital, but I mean, it feels more like the, there's like a texture almost to the color.
Yeah.
So I'll practice that probably with grayscale and then end up going into color. It's a little Freudian slip there for you. Sorry.
Why did I take a drink? I was trying to cover my smile up because I didn't want to.
I know, but I saw it, and so I just had to lean into it.
gay scale.
But yeah, so I'm gonna continue, you know, screwing around different things, and then obviously I'm trying to get better. I want to get better at my proportions and like my actual drawing of anatomy because right now I still struggle. I struggle with a lot of it to make it look the way I want it to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be working on that. I'm going to start doing torso practice and everything like that, drawing the torso. And I feel pretty decent about the arms, but you know, there's different parts that I want to get better at. So I'll be doing that. And obviously, most of what's going to be used for practice is just fantasy sci-fi stuff because I like the aesthetic of all that. So, but
awesome.
Other than that, just been playing a couple different games. Like, literally, like, three different games right now. Destiny 2, obviously.
Mm.
Season of the Plunder out. Play that with you guys.
Pirate-themed.
Which, I don't know what it is, but just, I love me a good pirate-themed thing. Just, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Having Season of the Plunder out has reminded me of that game. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a fun game. One of the better games.
Definitely one of the better ones, in my opinion. Like, that aesthetic has really been... on my mind, and then obviously after reading Alloy of Law, that cyber or not cyberpunk, the steampunk type aesthetic, has been on my mind too.
Nice,
but yeah, I've been playing that. Started playing the God of War game.
Oh,
for the PS4.
Yeah, I want to play that.
To try and you don't own a PS4 though, but it has it on their PC now.
Yeah, it just came out for PC.
It is a really good game. I got pretty far in it the first time I played it when it first came out, but I never beat it. So I'm going back and playing it again because I know the next one's coming out. good game, really good game. I like the story and the action, combat. So I've been playing that, and then I was sick last week, and while I was sick, I sat down and watched the new Batman with what's his name?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. So I ended up sitting down, laying down.
Had you seen it?
I had not seen it. So it's on HBO Max. And so
what'd you think?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was.
I want to see it.
Really good. I buy him as Batman. I don't know if I buy him as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I think I said that when a trailer came out.
Well, yeah.
But
it looked like the way he was playing Bruce Wayne was almost like there really wasn't much of a Bruce Wayne. It was like.
Yes.
He was just so deep into the Batman persona that.
That's true. I think this is kind of still meant to be his earlier Batman years. I think it's like they say Batman's been there for 2 years now. So it's mentioned in the movies. So it's still younger Batman. So I get it. He's still young and everything like that. But really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I liked Robert Pattinson as Batman. Thought he did a really good job. I would love to see more.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the Riddler storyline because I think the Riddler is such an interesting villain.
Yeah.
And I like seeing Batman be a detective.
Yeah, that's what I heard. You know, this being like an actual detective Batman story, that was something I was most intrigued about. So I still need to see it though.
Definitely dark, definitely gruesome, definitely creepy. So it was a good Batman. Right. But
checked all the boxes.
But the only thing that threw me off is he there was a scene where he has to jump off a building, but and you know how usually in Batman he uses his cape to like glide, and he doesn't do that. He just has a wingsuit. I'm like, ugh.
He has a wingsuit under the cape.
He doesn't even have the cape on. He takes, like, the cape comes off or something like that, and he's, like, got a wingsuit. And I was like, oh, that's so lame.
Yeah.
But it only happened once, so maybe he's still working on the kinks. He's still working on the kinks, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Needs Morgan Freeman to give him some inventions.
Right? I'm saying. plus, it was really fun seeing Smeagol as a
Alfred. As Alfred, yeah. That's good for him.
Yeah, for real. I know, right? It's just such a random thing to see him in. But that being said, after watching that, it put me in a DC mood, so I started playing the Arkham City game.
Oh, okay.
Which I beat a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I've had it on my PS4, so I've done it again. So I've been playing that, and that's just such a game. So now it's got me in a DC mood, DC Comics mood, so.
Have you seen the Snyder Cut?
I have not, so what I'm going to do, though.
Because I still need to watch that. I want to watch that.
So what we should do.
What?
What I'm going to do, and you should join me after when I'm done and you're going near it, that statement. Confusing. I'm gonna rewatch a lot of the Zack Snyder stuff. So
Man of Steel,
Batman vs Superman. I'll probably watch Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman 2 just to do it.
Yeah.
First Wonder Woman was good. I never watched the second one. But then we should sit down and watch the Snyder Cut, even though it's like 4 hours. But
yeah.
We should have a.
I think it's 6 hours.
Oh, geez, if it's that long, we don't know if we'll be able to do it, but.
I think there's, but I could be wrong.
But we should.
It's split up into like parts, I think.
Well, we should try and do that. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I do want to, because I've seen Justice League. I haven't seen the Snyder Cut, though.
Yeah, Justice League was like very not great. And I think, but I've heard the Snyder Cut is way better. Obviously, you got way more development of the characters if you go 6 hours.
Yes.
So, but anyway.
So I'll be doing that. Now that I have a lot more free time, I'll be doing that and sitting in the truck. If I'm not doing anything or if I'm not reading, I'll probably be trying to watch some of that. Man of Steel is one of those movies that has such a happy place in my heart because I went and saw it with my grandmother.
Okay.
Interesting. And she loved it and I loved it. But then that same day, there's a Dollar Movie Theater in Altamont Springs where she lives. And so that same day, she was like, we walked out and started the new Star Trek, the original Star Trek. Like a.
The J.J. Abrams one?
The first J.J. Abrams. I think they came out around the same time.
You did a double feature?
Or maybe it might have been Into Darkness. But we saw that it was starting next. So she was like, you want to just go watch that too? And I was like, yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we spent like. I was young, but we spent like, 6 hours at the movie theater. And it just me and her, and it was great. And that's so really cool. That just has a special place, place in my heart, both those movies, which I actually plan on watching. I have so much free time now. I've like got like 17 shows and like 13 movies to finally catch up on and watch.
Nice.
But after taking up all that time, what have you been doing, Josh?
Well, I have been writing still. I have, I'm going to have to figure out how to get my production more consistent. So once things are actually like live, but I've reached like the threshold that I think the 25 episode threshold for, like, they wanted like 25 to 30 episodes. With the 25th episode just completing, I need to do some editing of it, but that was cool to get that, reach that milestone and anything. And
that's
everything.
Awesome. So, can't wait for it to come out.
Yeah, me too.
Do you know how many episodes they're going to put out for free initially?
I don't know for sure. I know that the goal is to do basically like get to the first big cliffhanger and then make the next one, okay. You know? Yeah. So I kind of imagine that they might make like the first 8 episodes free, because the 9th episode is kind of the climax of the like initial arc.
Yeah.
And then from there, yeah, things will be a few of the in-app currency, which it's really not much. I forget how much it actually comes out.
I think it comes out to like
you get like for like $3, you can get, I forget how many coins, and it only takes a few coins to unlock an episode. So,
okay, so this episode is 3 coins,
right?
And it's $2 for 15 coins. Or so right now they're on sale, 33 coins for $4.
So there you go. So it's like 5 episodes.
Yeah, that's not bad actually.
For three bucks.
Yeah, basically. $2, 3 for $2, or 15 for $2. So
$2. Oh, okay, yeah.
So for
$2, that's 5 episodes. So, which kind of works out, like, you know, an ebook, you know, tends to be like $8, and if an ebook was like 100,000 words or whatever, you know, it kind of works out. The math works out similar to like ebook pricing, you know.
Yeah, the only thing
only I'm, you're doing it in more smaller chunks.
Yeah, I'd only be curious. Like, I wonder how long.
You do get a daily ticket too. So like, you get a buy some
no. Points. I just unlocked something for free, and I don't know if that was. So like, you can just allow me to unlock things for free. Let's continue talking while I figure this out.
So anyway, affordable. You know, if you're into a story, you know, and you want to keep the words coming. Just a few coins is all we ask. What us writers. Like, so that's good. And then.
Well, real quick, since you've been writing that, have you been able to write your other story at all recently?
No.
We're going to get into that. You've kind of hit that 25 threshold, are you going to try and jump over a little bit? Or
no, I'm not.
That's so sad.
We'll see. Yeah, I need to kind of see, like I still haven't gotten a handle on it. I feel like once the story goes live, and then I kind of get an idea of how that's going to go. How many episodes am I going to actually do for season one? Which, you know, because it'll be a lot more than that. So once I understand that a little more, maybe I'll start to be able to give myself like a day where I work a little bit on the other story. so
okay,
yeah. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I had to just, yeah. It was too hard when I was trying to do both for me to. I was like getting annoyed at the Mithril story because I wanted to finish the other story. And so I was like, no.
I want you to finish.
I need to get, I need to do it the other way around. I need to be like more into the Mithril story right now because that's like what's actually due.
You know what you should do?
So
you should just quit your job and write full time.
I know, you know, that's what I should do.
Make Aaron work.
But we'd probably last. Couple months.
I think that's some optimism. Thinking a couple months.
but
who knows? Maybe it'll take off.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect honestly with this. But
no.
Just gets a little bit of an income from it, that would be cool.
That'd be awesome.
And then from there, we'll just see where things go.
I mean, I think it's really good, so I could definitely see something. I would, you know, hope you can eventually get back to be able to write your book because
I definitely will,
especially after reading the Mithril stuff.
Hmm.
Spoiler, I've read most of it. I'm like extremely excited to read your book.
Yeah.
So they take place in the same world, right?
Yep, same world. Yeah. This is kind of technically takes place like five years before.
Yeah.
I have a hard timeline, but.
Like the world and everything that you've built up, even through just the mythical stuff, which I'm sure is not even nearly as built in as the book.
Yeah.
Just it gives me excitement to read the book. So hopefully you can get back and start finishing that soon. Yeah. I know we're way over your initial deadline for when you wanted to finish it.
Yep.
But
yeah, I am.
It happens.
Yeah. Once I get to a place with the mithril stuff where I can see the kind of light at the end of the tunnel with like this season, then I'll probably talk to them about a gap. You know, like I'm going to need some downtime in between seasons or something like that, and try to, you know, finish this other draft and this other book draft. And then so that the plan can unfold the way I meant it to, which was to, you know, let some people read it and give me some feedback and then do another draft of it. So we'll get there. We'll get there somehow. Just going to figure it out, but
it'll happen.
Yeah. But yeah, that's going pretty well. And then been playing Destiny 2 as well and enjoying that and enjoying the I did use some birthday money to get the latest expansion, and a couple seasons came with it. And that's been really nice, like being able to, there's just so much more to do.
It's being able to actually do stuff.
Yeah. So much more to do. And if you be a part of the ongoing events and stuff like that makes it more enjoyable and stuff. And
yeah, I really like how they do the seasons with like weekly story. It makes it feel like I don't have to jump in every day.
Right.
Like I can come in, you know, or if I do, it's like I jump on for a couple of minutes.
It builds on itself too, because like, I'm doing stuff from some previous seasons that I can see how it's building, like the current season and even like the current expansion, how it was building towards those. So that's, you know, impressive for them to do it that way. I guess that's probably common with MMOs, but
not
the way they've done it well.
I feel like the way they do it is actually different than some of the MMOs I played. Most MMOs just do the expansions, which brings in a whole bunch of new story, but straight out. Whereas this is like, you have the expansion that, like the Witch Queen expansion, and then you have, it, you know, you can get the four seasons, which continue along the story in between expansions, basically. Not, as far as I'm aware, a lot of MMOs don't do that.
Yeah.
They just do expansions.
Right.
Play with new story. Play and it's usually there. A decent bit of story. You know, expansions are pretty large. So, I mean, obviously, you know, some MMOs will come out with new raids and dungeons, you know, throughout the year without being an expansion.
Mm.
But most of their stuff comes out in expansions, whereas Destiny seems like it's just an ever-growing world.
Yeah.
So it's definitely neat. You know, it's good.
Yeah, definitely interesting. I'm starting to like pick up the characters and stuff like that. Appreciate them. So, but other than that, I'm playing Super Smash Brothers today with my kids on the Switch. That was fun.
Very nice.
My son just doesn't get the concept that it's just a fight. It's like a fighting game. He's like, let's walk around. He like wants to walk around the levels.
He's just me.
And explore things. And
oh, that's cute.
But that was real cute. Oh, I have a story to tell you. So on the way back, we were picking up the game from Blue Dragon. Shout out to Blue Dragon. And I was sending you a message, a text message. And she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm sending a message to someone. Who? Uncle Jeremiah. And she's like, why do you love him so much? And I was like, what? And I was like, we're friends. We're just friends. And she's like, do you love him? I was like, yeah, like as a friend. And she's like, does he love you? What? And I was like, I don't know. I think so.
Why is...
So do you love me?
Of course I do.
Oh, there we go, Ellie. The question has been answered. No.
That's amazing. I like how she just questions. Yeah. She just was questioning you. She's like, why do you love him so much?
Yep.
So. Oh, that's great. back to Smash Bros. Real quick. Did you do what I did when I got Smash Bros. And immediately downloaded or bought Kingdom Hearts?
No,
the Sora DLC.
I didn't because I was stinging a little bit from the sticker shock because I brought four games to trade in. I was like, oh, I'm going to trade in some games. Mm. It's going to take a lot off. Mm-mm. It's going to help.
It didn't, did it?
One of the games, I didn't check it. I thought it was in there because it had some weight to it, but it was the manual. And so they open up, he opens it up and he's like, shows me there's nothing in it. And I was like, jokingly, like, huh, you got me. And then you caught me. And then I was like, no, really, I wasn't trying to pull one over on you. And he was just deadpan the whole time. But then the other game, it was like Madden 2017. He's like, this one's too old.
Yes.
And I was like, no one will buy it. Like,
no.
People would buy it.
For maybe a dollar.
Anyway, I would buy it for $3.
Did you buy it for $3?
I bought it for $4, okay. $3.85. Because I took the sticker off, though. So it would see. Anyway, so then he took Final Fantasy 15 and... I don't remember what the second one was. So there's two games, and it was like $5 came off.
All right. That's why I don't turn in games anymore.
Which I was surprised, too, because that's not normally when I take stuff there. It's, like, that felt like GameStop. Like, GameStop, if you trade stuff in, you get, like, 3 cents.
That's why I just don't turn in games anymore because of that reason.
Anyway.
Like, there's no point in... If I'm going to get $2 for this game that I spent $60, like, I'll probably play the game again at one point. Except for Madden. Madden could just be trashed.
It was like still, it was used, so but it was like $40. So I was like,
it stung a little bit, but
yeah. But anyway, so we started unlocking characters like almost immediately. Unfortunately, Sonic, as I read, is like the 17th one you unlock.
Oh, really?
And that was the one that Jack wanted. So he's like, when are we gonna unlock Sonic? But
got to keep going.
Anyway,
keep pushing,
keep grinding. But that's fun to play with them. I actually was running a little late because of that. So sorry.
It's all good.
But anyway, the other thing is we watched Rings of Power.
Oh, we did watch Rings of Power.
This is Friday, because we weren't able to record Monday, so we just watched Rings of Power last night, the first two episodes, and we're going to do a Rings of Power episode. Well, we're going to do several, but so I won't get too deep into it, but I was very pleased.
I was also very pleased.
Very, very pleased.
Yeah, we'll just say that out the gate. I very much enjoyed it. It didn't feel like it was 2 hours or 2 hours and 20 minutes or whatever. Like, it went by really fast, which usually when that happens, I know it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I was by the end of this, you know, second episode, even though I was tired, I was like, I was so frustrated that it wasn't like Netflix where it all drops.
The whole season,
and you can just keep going through it, plowing through it, because I want to see and know the whole arc of everyone, because the first two episodes do a lot of setup on all the characters, which can make it feel a little bit like you want to get things going with all these characters. Like, okay, I can feel the tension. They're giving us all the tension in all these different characters. So you want to see everything start unfolding. So that's where I was left with the show. But
I feel like the next episode is going to start. Things are gonna start getting rolling pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think you're right. These first two were set up, and that's probably, you know, good reason why they released both of them at the same time.
Yeah,
and then we're gonna get things going.
Yeah. So, and thankfully, it's like seven or more episodes, so it's not like a six episode show. Ugh. That's like not even. Anyway,
speaking of TV shows,
a lot more to say about that. But
speaking of TV shows, real quick too, I forgot. I finished Stranger Things season 4.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna cry.
I know.
I can't believe I had to wait.
I know.
Anyway, that's all I need to say about that. So
we should do some kind of episode just reacting to season 4 or something.
We should. Or just talk about the show in general.
Things or feelings. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Rings of Power, definitely.
Yeah, looking good.
Looking good. Excited.
Strong.
Yeah, excited for more. Hopefully it stays as strong as the first two episodes have been. Actually, I hope it gets better.
Yeah.
Like, it's already really good. I just hope it at least stays the consistency.
Yeah.
And doesn't get worse. Because that's kind of what... I mean, it happened with Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan didn't even start off very strong, personally.
Yeah.
But, and it just kind of went downhill until the end.
There's certain categories that this show started way above Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah.
Just the production, like, just the visual. I mean, I know they spent a lot of money on this show, but I'm glad they did, because it was worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Just the way everything looks. They're not, they didn't have to skimp on anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of these other shows did. Anyway, so that was exciting, fun. I was nerding out so much inside at the beginning in the prologue of Rings of Power, because it was so much deep lore. They did modify it somewhat and gloss over some things, but that's because they don't have access to the rights to Silmarillion, so they couldn't really go into all the reasons behind certain things, and they had to kind of leave some of that behind. So, but it was still, even with that, it was still amazing what they showed. So it was really cool. But, and there was a Tolkien in the credits, Simon Tolkien.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's been consulting on it. So that's like a first for, you know, ever since the recent adaptations of Lord of the Rings stuff happened. That's like the first mark of approval from a Tolkien. So that's kind of cool too. Feather in the
that's
cap
cool.
for Amazon.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But more to be said there.
And yeah, we'll say more. We'll definitely get into it.
We could take a break now, and then we'll come back, and we're going to finish out Arcane episodes 7 through, or was it?
7 through 9.
Yeah, 7 through 9.
The last three episodes of Arcane. Boy, howdy.
Yeah.
Get so ready for a tearjerker.
Yeah, for sure.
But we'll be back.
We'll be back. See you soon. All right, we are back.
Back, back, back.
We have our energy. Back, back, back. Well done. Oh, this is so much caffeine in it.
How
not,
much
I'm caffeine? Not drinking this whole thing.
Probably not
300 milligrams.
You have to be asleep in 2 hours. Do I have 300 in this too?
We have energy drinks. It's called G Fuel.
G Fuel.
And it is self-described as the official drink of esports. So if you're a fan of people getting paid to compete in video games, if you watch that esport, then you probably know all about this drink.
You know, esports is actually kind of interesting. I've always kind of wanted to, like, watch an esports thing.
Yeah.
I just haven't. I know my brother got into, like, the Overwatch esports stuff.
Okay. Yeah. It's, like, high stakes competitive.
Like,
I mean,
it's
I used to
watching football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sort of. It's
literally the same thing. Just well, one's...
It's not literally the same thing.
It's... They are both, one is just a video game and one is real life sports.
Moving your fingers in one and the other.
But you're not, either way, you watching it is not doing the action.
That's true. Actually, though, scientifically speaking, your muscles and, like, not your muscles, but, like, your, like, stuff engages, right, mentally when you're watching someone do something. Like, let's say, like, you're watching someone, because people do that to like gymnastics and stuff, they watch someone do the thing over and over and over again, because, like, your muscle memory kind of helps your muscle memory get going with it. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I've noticed.
I'm doubling down on this, but I think
you committed.
And if there's any scientists out there, back me up. Email richard2@gmail.com. He's right. Here's the scientific explanation.
If I get an email saying that, then I will believe you.
Well, anyway,
G Fuel, yes.
What flavor is your G Fuel?
I don't have a flavor. It's just inspired by PewDiePie.
Yeah,
your flavor is PewDiePie. It smells interesting.
My flavor is Peach Rings because it's got Sonic on it. So let's taste these Peach Rings.
Taste it.
Oops. Zero sugar, so it's gonna have that kind of zero sugary flavor.
PewDiePie do esports?
I don't know. I mean, he does YouTube stuff. Maybe he's like, is he an announcer or something? I don't know. Internet will help us, maybe. Just type in PewDiePie esports. It's definitely Peach. Not a bad zero sugar taste. There's not an aftertaste with it.
Mine's very cherry, which I was kind of hoping for. It's
pretty very
good.
Peach.
I can't do the 300 milligrams caffeine. Yeah, I drink enough caffeine throughout the day that I try to keep it to a minimum.
Right.
Like, the amount I take at a time.
Right, me too. I don't drink as much caffeine as you, though.
I've already had a monster today, so...
You are a monster.
Yes, I am. Thank you. You hurt my feelings.
Sorry.
No,
sorry,
this is pretty
sorry
good.
Listeners. That got ugly.
I feel like I've had G Fuel before, but it wasn't like a inspired by. It was just, or like it was just a flavor.
Oh, okay.
I remember it being pretty good.
It caught my eye because I was like, "Oh, there's Sonic on this."
Ooh, Sonic.
And I was like, maybe there'll be another cool flavor. And then the only other thing was just PewDiePie.
I mean, I'm about it.
So
let's do it. It's good. Thank you.
There you go. G Fuel, thank you for providing the drink here.
As we continue to drink it, you will notice us get more and more hyper and talk faster. And
that's right. I'm going to have to actually like go back in editing and slow down.
I don't know what you're talking about. What?
And so then our voices will get blurry.
All right.
Arcane.
Arcane, the ending of Arcane.
The ending.
For season one, because they have announced a season two. I'm pretty sure.
And then they all died.
Wow, what a way to start that. Spoilers.
How can they even do a season? Well, the season two would be have to be in just another part of the League of Legends world, I think.
I don't think like. So.
Everybody, I'm jumping ahead so quickly. But I just going to react here. Everybody in that room is dead.
No, they aren't.
They have to be.
You don't know that.
It's a huge...
Dude, there's hex tech.
Freaking rocket.
There's hex tech.
Oh, so you think there's like some kind of invisible shield we don't know about?
Similar to Vi's accidental shield with the gloves when she's fighting the sword yeah. chick. Mm-hmm. I think it's possible.
I will. My mind will be blown if that happens. Because there was just zero... There was zero... foreshadowing for that, except for, you know, what you just said, you know, and the fact they were talking about we need to have defenses, but there was just zero thing that they were where they were talking about protecting the tower or anything like that from
so
anything.
Since so. We've already jumped just way ahead, I'll just go ahead. I think a few possibilities. I think there could be a shield. I think despite her efforts, Jinx never actually was able to weaponize the thing.
You think it's going to be a dud?
So it's not going to be a dud, but it's not going to be as bad. And so, like, if there's going to be an explosion, I think that might be, like, some of the counselors die or someone, like, there's probably people that are majorly injured, but I don't think they're all going to die. And I don't think so, because I think how they're going to set up the season two is that you have this whole season has kind of been about, I mean, it's been Vi and Jinx's story and everything like that, but the underlying arc and story is that the Undercity and the Epicity are just moving closer and closer to war.
Right.
And to outright conflict. And that's kind of where everything's been pushed to. Jinx has now basically just set off that match. She just lit the fire. Mm-hmm. And I think what's going to happen now is because you just... And it just... I mean, look at what was
the
happening.
Powder keg.
Yep.
Get it?
Oh, I love it. Nice puns.
That was a podcast episode last time.
Oh, was it?
A powder keg called Jinx.
Oh, well, that's a cool name. I didn't see that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Just so much
every once in a while, you know.
That was a good one. No, but I think so it's all been leading to this, and yeah. You have that last scene is the counselor saying I have brokered peace with right. Silco,
yeah,
and we're gonna have peace with the Undercity, and they're gonna be their own city, the city of Zaun.
Mm.
And so now you have Jinx that just blew them up.
Yeah,
some of them are gonna live. I don't know if all of them will, but some of them will. Jace will. He has to. I even think it's possible that something with what's his name, Victor, could with his interaction with Hextech could somehow absorb some of the explosion.
Well, when I watched it, I finished the episode today, the last episode today, and
all samesies.
Victor, he's been going deeper into the hex cube. What do you call it?
Hex core.
The hex core. Yeah. And he finally realizes how far over the line he's gone because their little assistant, you know, came in while he was like, I don't know what would have happened if she hadn't come in, if it would have killed him.
Heartbreaking scene.
Yeah, because she grabs on to him in like the episode for this because it, you know, he's like getting zapped by this thing because he's just so desperate.
He's like writing runes on himself, and he even uses.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have any more shimmer to help with the transformation or whatever to boost his ability to take it, but he does it anyway. It goes further anyway, and then she walks in and grabs him, and she just gets vaporized into the core.
Mm.
But so in this last episode, he's like kind of mourning, and then he is even worse because he's like reading all her notes and stuff where she was writing about how much she cared for him. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, it's just,
it's heartbreaking,
just more and more heartbreaking. And which finally pushes him to the point realizing, I've gone too far. We got to destroy this thing. But at one point he was about to hit it with a chair. I don't know if that would have done anything.
Probably not.
But when he's walking away, it like knocks him down. Like it sends like a,
oh, that's great.
It we sends ever... like something through his leg, and it like makes him fall, and then like something like kind of triggers in his head too.
And we don't ever really get anything.
No,
we don't see anything.
We
else
don't really
that.
See anything else from
addressed.
It. But maybe it could try and protect itself, because isn't that, it's like in the same building, right?
Yeah.
So it could do something to try and protect itself. Maybe that's another thing I just thought of.
Or,
you know, with the bomb.
I mean, it's possible too that it, the hex core almost absorbed what's her name's soul.
Yeah.
And
she's doing something,
and she protects them.
Yeah. That's what I wasn't sure about. Victor. Like did she go into the core, or did whatever transformation happen to him
end up killing her? I don't know.
No, like, is she part of him now somehow?
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, I don't know. Anyway.
But, and it's all speculation at this point. But that being said, I do think that this will, what will happen now is this is going to lead the council to be like, we've been attacked. We have, this is going to start a war.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
This is season two. I think it's going to be a lot. It's going to be war. It's going to be all out war. Hextech is going to be finally made into weapons. I think Jace is going to be... I think what happened... Someone, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's the counselor lady. Can't remember her name. Dies.
Yeah.
And this is what pushes Jace over the edge to finally...
Yeah.
To finally go to all-out war.
You know, Silco's gone now. So, you know, this is like the whole... It all leads up to... I mean, these three episodes... are about, as far as Silco goes, it's about, you know, Jinx is out of control, but he is still and he kind of loses track of her because she basically dies, mm-hmm. right? The boy savior, the first episode in the three that we watched is when Vi and Caitlin have they're trying to get the hex sphere out,
mm-hmm.
and then Jinx shows up.
On the bridge.
It's that fight between her and... I think that might be the best fight.
What's his...
In the show.
The boy
Echo.
Yeah, Echo. Yes.
Yeah, Echo.
Such a cool character, by the way. I love him.
Very stylized fight, but it was just kind of... It was so interesting how they did it, where they made it like a mixture between this high-stakes fight and these two kids are just like playing again, you know? A
lot of emotional stakes
which made... Yeah, really made the emotions high for that, because... when he starts doing the little clock thing, and then she kind of like, it's like she's a kid again a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And that they're just playing or whatever and seeing who can beat each other. But she grenades both of them, and she's like near death. So Silco takes her to Mad Scientist, says, do whatever it takes. And that guy's just crazy. That scientist.
These last three episodes really highlight the truth behind Silco actually caring for Jinx.
Right.
He genuinely cares for her.
Yeah.
Because at first you think like maybe like he doesn't actually care for her, he's just using her. But these episodes really show, I mean, I think on the bridge, what really hit it for me is on after the explosion, when he's finding her body on the bridge. I mean, he runs.
Yeah.
I mean, he runs, and the animation, I think the animators did it purposely. He runs in a way that's like, he's worried.
Yeah.
Like, he's scared that she's dead. You know, and then he brings her to that mad scientist and is like, do what you can. Do whatever.
Do whatever it takes.
You know, Silco genuinely cares for her in his own weird, like, you know, wrong way.
Right.
You know, because obviously what she's doing and how he's encouraging her is not good. But that really hit home to me, these episodes, was how much Silco really does care for her.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, but then, and that's really Silco's, like, his character arc of these over these three episodes is he gets in that final episode, he gets the offer. Jace meets with him because Jace sees how close things are to going over the edge. And basically is going to try to get him everything he's asking for if he will stop producing Shimmer and if he will deliver Jinx. Hmm. And that was the one that was like too far for Silco. And there's actually that scene where Silco is sitting. There's a monument to it's Vander, right?
Vander.
There's a monument to Vander, actually. And he's sitting there and he's like, now I get it. How daughters undo us or whatever. And he doesn't realize that Jinx is on the other end of the other side of the... But that's where Silco is undone by Jinx. Just like Vi was and Vander. Just like so many characters have been undone by her over this show. He is going to... She's a criminal. She's out of control. You know, she doesn't even realize like how much he cares for her,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she cannot like her own insecurities and things like that are constantly clouding her thoughts. Constantly other voices are coming in and things like that. And so she just cannot be grounded in what's really happening and what's really there. And yet Silco can't turn her in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not going to turn her in.
Yeah, it's actually so. It's such a cool, interesting comparison that they made with Silco and Vi, because they both really care for Jinx / Powder, and they even use this in that last episode of that dichotomy between am I Jinx or am I Powder?
Yeah,
and they both genuinely care for her.
Yeah,
and yet I think they're both wrong. Silco obviously is because he's trying to push her into Jinx.
Because Jinx is his daughter.
Yes. But I think Vi is also wrong because she's trying to push her into Powder and she's not Powder anymore.
Right.
She is not that little girl.
It doesn't help. You can see that scene whenever Vi is like, think about something. She starts naming off all the names of the boys,
mm-hmm.
Vander and herself and stuff. And she just doesn't get how traumatized Jinx is by those names. And like, she's trying to tell her to remember who you are.
Yeah.
You know? And all of that does for Jinx, though, is just push her even further into this, you know, PTSD kind of, you know, stylized, like they're like turning into monsters that are like hounding her and she just cannot think. And then that's whenever Silco jumps in because he understands that part. But like you said, he wants her to be Jinx. He cares for her and he loves her, but he selfishly wants her to be Jinx because Jinx is his daughter. You know, he can't let her repair her relationship with Vi because then he might lose her.
He'll lose her. Yeah,
that's kind of the dichotomy that he cannot. You know, that's why he speaks up.
But let's also take a step back real quick and so let's explain what's going on because we're talking about all this going on. So first of all, I just want to. Round of applause to the writers for writing such a beautiful, insane person.
Yeah.
I mean, Jinx has gone, I mean, she's already bonkers in episode 4, but she just goes even more bonkers and they do such a good job of portraying it. Someone who is going mentally insane, hearing voices and at odds with themselves and everything like that. And the different, you know, the Jinx and the Powder, all just masterfully done. Throughout the show, and especially in that last episode. But what's going on in this last episode is Jinx has slowly, and you see it through each person's kind of coming doing their story, Jinx has taken Caitlyn, who's the enforcer that was with Vi.
Mm-hmm.
Then she takes Vi, and then she takes Silco, then she takes Vi.
Yeah.
And this all accumulates into Vi waking up in this dark room. Apparently, I'm assuming it's the old warehouse where everything initially started.
Yeah, she said something about, like, I thought I buried this place, blah, blah, blah. So I'm guessing it's like...
And it comes to find out that Jinx has brought them all. And there is, like, this table and everything that...
And there's even, like, the figures of the other boys. They're all at the table because she's, like... She's kind of... It's almost like she's doing a little bit of therapy. Mm-hmm. She's trying to, like, work through... her past and like this is where it all went wrong. If I can figure out you know who I'm supposed to be and move on from here. I don't know, you know, but she wants everyone there that's been haunting her so she can figure it out, you know.
And it's just
what her whole
story has been.
No, this scene is haunting too. I mean, she has that moment where she brings the platter. I think she's,
oh yeah,
she's talking to Vanya. She's like, I even brought your girlfriend.
I saw your friend. Yeah, yeah. I visited your friend, and then she just
the platter, and you know, Vi is obviously like, oh my gosh, like, I don't. She's insane. I don't know what she's done. Thinking like
it's a head.
It's a head. Yeah. It's Caitlin's head or whatever. And I think it too. I've seen the episode. I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, it's Caitlin's head. Yeah.
How is it not her head?
You know, and so you have this, and this is that scene that is just so, oh man, it's just such a good scene of just them going back and forth. You have Sokka and Vi going back and forth trying to talk to Jinx / Powder, and each pushing in one way or the other. And this too, man, it's almost hard for a villain. It's heartbreaking because you have the scene where Caitlin breaks free, grabs the Gatling gun, and is threatening Jinx, and then Jinx ends up
using her newfound shimmer
abilities,
like built-in shimmer stuff. So she's like speeds her way into Caitlin and disarms her. And
but while this is all happening, Silco gets free and grabs a gun and is about to shoot Vi.
Yep.
And in that moment, Jinx, I guess, goes on autopilot, makes a decision, and she shoots Silco.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, obviously that drove her over the edge, but you have this, just for a villain, such a heartbreaking moment of like, I never would have given you up.
Yeah. He said, and then she's like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he's like, don't be sorry, you're perfect. Like, he fully accepts her.
And that's what pushes her into Jinx.
You know, even though he wants her to be Jinx for his own, for somewhat selfishly, and he doesn't fully get her, you know, he doesn't want her to integrate. He doesn't want her to fully integrate, you know, her relationship with Vi into who she is now. But at the same time, he doesn't blame her for this mistake. He doesn't call her a Jinx. You know, he doesn't smack her. He, you know, says you're perfect, which, you know, she's clearly not perfect.
Yeah, but
what, like, he's saying is, I fully accept you.
Which is like, you know, it's so heartbreaking because
that she just killed him. The person that, you know,
that truly loved her, you know, that did love her. And Vi does too, in her own way. You know. But Vi doesn't accept that she's Jinx.
Right, because, yeah, she's not, she's all, will always be her little sister, you know. Yeah, so that just is definitely heartbreaking and such conflicting emotions there, you know, because I think what I came away with, or somewhat came away with in that last scene, right, the all the counselors, while all that is going on, these counselors are in their high tower and they are debating whether or not to let the Undercity split off and become its own independent country, which they want to do. And they're all against it at first, but then they all start coming around, of course. They all start coming around, and the exact moment that they are all coming around is at the same time the moment that Jinx has fired off her Hextech-fueled rocket at them, because she's doing, I think it's like her last, like, just gasp of frustration at her, what she did, you know, to her dad, Silco, and probably something where she's trying to think this is something he would have wanted, not really understanding what was about to happen, what he was trying to do, what was unfolding. So just like in a last kind of like trying to get the approval of that figure, even though they're now dead. But all I could think was too little, too late. You know, back whenever Vi and Jace are down there fighting together, and Jace is having this hard time. They go down. Jace is like, I'm going to take matters in my own hands, and Vi is all for that method. That's the name of her game, and she wants to take it to Silco. And so even though these people down here that are working in the shimmer plants and stuff are Undercity people, she has less sympathy for them because they're working for this Silco, guy. Yeah. They're working for Silco. So Jace accidentally kills a kid, you know, because he's fighting and he's got this hammer and he's shooting it. And accidentally, there's a kid that's working in the plant too. The kid gets knocked down and falls and dies. And so he's just like overcome with guilt in that moment. He's like, I can't do this. I got to wash my hands of this because I can't be the reason that another kid is not going home to his parents. Yeah. And then Vi basically lays into him and says, you've been a part of this for long before today, and there's the blood of untold children and other people are on your hands up there because you didn't give a rat's rear. Because
of your inattention, you know, inactivity.
Yeah, because of your inaction, because you didn't care enough to do anything until now, you know? And so don't act like your hands aren't that dirty, you know? This is like the fruit is fully ripened of the inaction, of the not taking the issues with the Undercity seriously. And now they're reaping it. You know, they're reaping that even though they're just about to give them what they've been looking for, it's too late. The powder keg is going up. You know, the fuse has reached all the way to the end, you know. You can't defuse the bomb a second after it blows. Yeah. You know, basically. It's kind of where it's at. So it was like that was just a very tragic moment, but at the same time it was like, you know, nobody was willing to look at the problem till it was too late.
Yeah, too late. It's interesting to watch a show. There's not too many shows coming out now where things just don't go the way they're supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, we're so used to the hero and which I love. Those are my favorite, is the good guy, bad guy, and good guy wins. But that being said, Episode 3 is one of my favorite movies of Star Wars.
Right.
And that's because, for once, the bad people win. And this kind of happens here where, like, you know,
it's not for once.
It's not no one wins. Like, it's a loss. Like, yeah,
loss for everyone.
It ends on a very sour, you know, dire note. And I love that. You know, that I love a good tragedy. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
I love myself a good tragedy, you know.
Well, and that is the unique thing about this show too, is it's not any one side, you know, that wins. Like, the underside didn't win here. The topsiders didn't win. Jinx didn't win. You know, everybody loses here in this moment. And it's just this show has just been this show where there's all these different plot lines that people are trying to make things work, trying to get their what they need or what they want. But you have this wild card the entire time called Jinx, and you just have no idea how she's going to spin things out of control. And I don't know. I do think she fully weaponized that. You may be right that there may be some kind of failsafe that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But I do think she fully weaponized it because the ending of the show, episode 9, parallels the ending of episode 3. You know, where she's like, I did it. It worked. You know, at the end of episode 3, when she's a kid and everybody, they're trying to get Vander out and she's gets left behind and she is like, oh, I finally did it. It finally worked. And it just blows everything apart. It ruins everything that she finally succeeded at what, you know, to her little bombs that were working with the. So to me, this kind of parallels that she was trying to get figure out the hex tech.
So what you're saying is
she's trying to crack it.
It rhymes.
It does. It does rhyme. It all rhymes.
It all rhymes.
So I see this as like paralleling that, you know, where she finally figures it out and, you know, it just causes more her victory or her success of figuring out this hex tech thing is the furthest thing from helping you know, anyone, including her own people. So you're probably right that I don't see them letting Jace and Victor die. They've done so much work on their characters, especially Victor's. I feel like Victor's got a lot of character development left.
I like Victor as a character a lot. I like his character development. I like everything that's been going on with him. I want to see this new leg thing that's going on. Have you like you noticed like his skin change? Like, it's almost like metallic now.
Yeah,
it's just super cool.
It makes a sound like a metallic sound when it runs on it.
I want to know what happens with that. But man, I just, all the applause to the writers.
Yeah, well, I do want to talk a little bit about Victor a little more. One thing that stood out, another thing that rhymed with Victor's character is, you know, I do love that the strength of his character, that rather than descending further into just doubling down even more and going down an even darker and twisted path because of his grief, and because it's like sometimes characters are like, I've come this far. Mm-hmm. I've come too far to go back, you know, or I've crossed this threshold, so mm-hmm. I can't go back. I'm just going to go further.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than doing that, he says, we have to destroy it. You know, we have to destroy the Hex Cube, you know. But before he says that, he's up in the clock thing, and he's looking and he's thinking about, you can tell he's thinking about jumping.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jace was in episode 2, I think it was.
Something like
whenever
that.
Whenever he was in his apartment mm-hmm. and everything was being taken from him, all his research and everything.
And then Jace stops him.
Jace stops him.
Whereas in the
I really, initially, you know, that was just him. An awesome moment that Jace was there for him. They had kind of been drifting apart and kind of been conflicting. And to get that was like a win, you know. And then for their friendship, you know. But then after he says that we need to destroy the Hex Cube because of we've lost our way, basically. And he says this something he said in striving to be great, we failed to do good.
Yeah.
And that was like a really, I think, another good thematic thing in the show, speaking to the theme of the show of like people are trying to do these great things and nobody's really asking, is this good? You know, are we doing good?
Victor's character throughout has always been, he's interesting because he does want, because he's from the Undercity.
Right.
And he does want to do good. I mean, that like at the beginning of episode 4, you know, talk about with the new Hex Sphere and wanting to bring tools to everybody, including the Undercity, to right. bring these things to help everybody up. And then, of course, he himself gets drawn into, you know, like, kind of like Jace gets drawn away through political aspirations right. and everything like that. He gets drawn away through the power of being able to heal his sickness.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to live, you know, mm-hmm. wants to figure this all out and not die, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. And which leads him down this path. And so it's both of them kind of come to a moment in this episode. I think the eighth episode and ninth episode where I think it's the eighth episode where Jace has that moment where he kills a kid and he has his coming to of I've gone too far moment.
Yeah.
And then Victor at the same time also has his I've gone too far when the assistant dies. So they both have that come to of like, we screwed up. We have lost our way.
Right.
And instead of, like you said, which I like about both of them, instead of doubling down and being like, well, we just got to push forward, keep going.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Jace says, I got to broker peace with Silco to stop the violence. And Victor is like, we needed to get rid of the Hex Sphere or the Hex Core or whatever.
Right.
And destroy it because we have lost our way in the, what was the quote again? In the power, so searching for power.
He said, like, seeking to be great, we failed to do good.
Yeah. Or and so they lost those. Their way now. Now they're, you know, so now they're in the process trying to go back and do good.
I like that even though it was kind of for nothing, I'm glad that the character arcs for their show ended with them mm-hmm. working together, being optimistic, working towards something. Something good,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to do good instead of just something great.
Yeah.
And, so that was great. I just don't know, like you said, I just don't know how do their characters move forward
mm-hmm.
after things blow up so horribly at the end, you know?
Well, we at least know that Caitlin and Vi are still alive.
Yeah. Yes. They're watching the carnage or whatever is going to happen. But, you know, there's another thing that makes me think of something I thought about too is Silco. Another thing with Silco's character, he has come to this place, a similar place to where Vander was, that he despised Vander
mm-hmm.
for working with the Topsiders to keep things in balance, you know. And he had kind of gone a little bit that direction with like working with that one guy, but it was really about having him in his pocket. It was like the reverse of
yeah.
of Vander. Vander, instead of Vander, like there's this understanding, let's work together. He was using that guy.
Yeah.
But here at the end, he's meeting with the Topsider. He's negotiating for the good mm-hmm. of the Underside. You yeah. know, so it's a very similar thing to what Vander was doing, only Vander didn't have the leverage.
Yeah.
You that, know, yeah. That he had to be able to actually talk to a counselor about it. So you know, just another interesting thing. Another, just Silco was just such an interesting villain, very interesting character. And he didn't necessarily, it was an interesting, like, villain that had, like, a change to his character. He didn't become a hero. Mm-hmm. He didn't turn good. It wasn't a redemption arc, but there were some redeeming aspects of his character, you know, along the way.
Well, there's something inherently likable about someone who's loyal.
Yeah, and that was a big thing.
He's fiercely loyal to Jinx and to the other girl.
Yeah.
To the sword chick, you know. And but especially, you know, with him and Jinx, like, there's just something inherently likable. Even though he's a villain, you know he is. You like him because he does have that loyalty to Jinx.
You're right. Like, he's so loyal. That comes back around with Jinx. You know, that whenever he's offered basically everything he wants, he just needs to give them Jinx. It's just the line he can't cross.
Yeah.
You know. So, he's kind of, I guess he's more of a lawful evil, right? He's got his...
Yeah.
Makes
sense.
His, like, code that he can't cross, that he'll be evil, but within the bounds of that code, you know. But yeah, so definitely a good show. Is there anything in the show that didn't work for you or?
I mean, not really though. There's one thing
I have. The character, the counselor, you know, that Jace gets close to.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing about her character is that I feel like they were setting up her character. It felt like they were setting up her character to be this person that was going to betray Jace, right? Because she was very self-seeking, trying to climb the ladder, is the way the kind of character they presented her as, especially in the first half of the show. And then, you know, she's kind of quote-unquote corrupting him by telling him, you've got to make all these deals with these other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just be the white knight. You know, you have to be a little gray. And so it seems like she's like this negative influence or whatever. But then by the end, you learn more about her character and it makes you more sympathetic to her. And instead of, you know, ending up betraying him. I'm not saying I wanted her to betray him. It just felt like that's where her character was going, what they were setting her up as. And then it's kind of like they shifted her character.
I get what you're saying, but I think, you know, it was done purposefully, and I think they used her mother to do it.
Oh, they did. Absolutely.
So I get what you're saying.
No, I think it was purposeful.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I just don't understand, I guess, the character. I guess it was just to establish that her as an independent.
I think you're right. I think that was kind of initially what was going on. But I think it works because they used her mother coming in and also trying to manipulate Jace to show the counselor that she was doing that and that she realizes that she doesn't want to be like her mom.
Ah, that's a good point.
And that, you know, because she even takes off the ring, which I'm assuming is the symbol of her house at the very end. She takes it off and says, I vote for peace too. Because the mom said, lead them to war, basically, because we need weapons.
Right.
And she's saying no. You know, so I kind of see it as that of, like, she was manipulating Jace and she was doing these things. And then when her mom came in and also started manipulating Jace and doing all these things, she was just like, I'm just like my mother. And I don't want to be.
I guess you could also argue that Jace may have influenced her too. Mm-hmm. Because, like, her getting close to Jace and seeing how idealistic he was and how positive those ideals were may have pulled her into, you know, realizing that she didn't want to betray this really just good person, you know, in the end. And I think that there's also her mom sees this painting that she did. She did this painting and then, which I'm assuming has some significance to her home or something. And then her mom, sees that it's got these big paint splotches, like she's basically abandoning that side of her heritage. So, you know, maybe that's a symbol too, that she was earlier in the season, she was painting that painting.
Mm-hmm.
And then now at the end of the season, she's destroying that, kind of messing up that paint, destroying it. So that's a good point. That's fair. I think fair way of looking at her character. That was the only thing that I was like, I'm not sure if they fully pulled it off with her, but I see what you're saying. And maybe that's probably what they were trying to do. And maybe just,
I definitely can see how it, because I think the first time I watched it too, it was like, what are they doing with her? Because yeah, she's kind of, she is like manipulative and she's not. It is kind of weird. And I think you're right too. I think Jace is kind of rubbed off on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not really too much that I have issues with.
Yeah.
Story or animation wise. I mean, everything just works. I don't know. It's such a masterfully told story. It is just really good. Like, watching it again just reminded me of, like, man, these guys nailed it. Like, high praise. And one high praise again, too, for the animation. Oh, you really see it in these last few episodes because some of these fight scenes are just so colorful. And the way it's animated. I love the fight scene between Vi and the robot arm chick in the bar. Like, the colors that are used and just, like, they just do such a good job. Like, it's wild to me. How well they did with all of it. And consistently, too. Like, it's just consistently good. Mm. Same with the story. The story is just consistently good. Very impressed. Very, very excited to see what else comes from it.
Yeah.
Arcane Season 2. Stuff like this makes me hype for the Riot MMO that's going to be coming out in the nearest future.
Okay.
And just more Riot media. League of Legends media.
More or we riot.
More or we riot. Anything else? Anything to add?
I think that pretty much does it. When we come back, we'll be talking Rings of Power.
Mm, look forward to that. That'll be good.
So that should be fun. And yeah.
All right.
So, well, this has been a Bridge of Two podcast.
A far, far, far away bridge.
Bridge out. Kind of ruined that. Otherwise flawless beginning.
Absolutely flawless. You're gonna just, if that's posted, everyone's gonna hate us.
Welcome
immediately.
Yeah, just me coughing full strength into the microphone.